from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
Hour number two, It's Optional. Rolling right along here on Fan Run Radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7. As always on the Fan Run Radio app, wherever you may be, Chance Collins, Trey Wallace, Brandon Johns in the building. Wonderful Fridays, wonderful Friday. Congratulations, Friday gang. We made it. We made it, and the weekend is upon you. Got a couple more hours if you're at that 9-to-5-er, maybe going in on that third shift tonight. Couple more hours. The weekend is upon you. Big weekend. Masters. We'll continue to update that this hour. Masters going on right now. Tiger Woods should be teeing off here in the next couple minutes, if not already. Also, NBA playoffs scheduled to start tomorrow. That's huge. Orange and white game for all of us here in East Tennessee, and along with all the other spring games this weekend, too, if you're that person who's going to do a lot of research and,
yeah,
and scout everybody else. I mean, there will be spring games, I'm sure, from around, 11:30, noon, somewhere all day on Saturday. There'll be copious amounts of spring games, copious amounts of quality sports entertainment all day long Saturday. Today as well, as we said, Preds hockey. They play game two against the Dallas Stars in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then also, the Big Mama on Sunday. The Big Mama. Game of Thrones. Everything. We can't stop talking about Thrones. Be ready, Trey Wallace. No, you haven't watched. I'm hoping that maybe this is all a ruse and that you're just going to come in on Monday and you've been watching this whole time. We're going to have quality discussion about Game of Thrones. Because if not, me and Brandon just talk about it, and you'll just have to sit here awkwardly like we do when you talk NASCAR.
We're going to have some quality discussion.
I mean, it is what it is. I don't know.
When Jason Martin comes on.
That's right.
In 15 minutes.
That's right. Jason's a big
Game of Thrones culture guy.
Yeah, he's a big pop
culture
guy.
Whether it goes from The Bachelor to Game of Thrones.
He actually has like a podcast or something that like is centered around pop culture stuff. So, yeah, he's going to be in the know. Trey Wallace, we got to get you in the know. At least maybe you'll read some like recaps or something. You'll come in here and pretend like you're in the know.
We'll give you the cliff notes.
We'll give you the cliff notes, Trey.
I don't know. I can get into it. I can get into it.
I know you can.
I think I might as well just watch this season.
Yeah, might as well. Even though that's going to ruin it, kind of. You won't really know what's going on.
Winter has already come.
Yeah, see,
you're too late.
Yeah, you kind of missed out. Here. Like all throughout the other seasons, winter is coming. Winter is here now. So it kind of would hurt you. Somewhat.
It can't be that bad. I mean, I think I could be able to.
There are a
understand
lot of
it.
There are a lot of TV shows that, you know, that I liked, and that I still like. That I feel like, yeah, you can jump into a lot, but Game of Thrones would be really tough to jump in. There are so many backstories that they'll continuously go back to in this season as well.
Be watching for the phones. We might have somebody special, a former VFL, call in here in just a minute. Just letting you know.
He's got three flashers up there now.
Say. Oh, like, do you?
We
he
have, calls in. We have
not.
Up.
We. I don't know if that means that the Godfather thinks that we're so incompetent or that we just got this abundance of flashers. We have three flashers to let us know the phone rings. So maybe we're that slow around here.
We got one for each line.
I understand it. No,
I understand that. I just like, man, it's a lot of flashers.
Do you think? Let me ask you this question. Do you think the streaming services will have? Will have a problem carrying HBO Saturday night.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I guess it's possible. It's very possible.
I'm waiting for him. I don't know what you want me to do.
little behind the curtain right here. Trey Wallace.
Actually, Rashawn Golden's coming on right now.
Nice. Nice.
We're going to have Rashawn Golden on right now.
Rashawn Golden going to come on.
We're going to talk about him donating the jersey that he, you know, had an interesting moment with the Alabama fans. But he's going to be donating the jersey tonight at the
Night to Remember.
A Night to Remember at Hops and Hollers. He's going to be doing that tonight. So he's going to come on and he's going to discuss that. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Real quick, before we get Jason, kind of an impromptu thing here.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. We're going to do this real quick. Have him on for about, you know, 8 to 9 minutes, and then we'll get to Jason Martin. But I wanted to talk to him about this and him auctioning off this jersey for a great cause tonight.
Yep.
And it was so funny to see how everything went down before down in Tuscaloosa and how he's kind of turned this thing around and going to be giving this thing away for a good cause. And there's so many different Vol for Life's going to be there tonight. Which is a lot of fun as well.
Just to let people know, if you're just catching this now, what we're talking about is the Night to Remember. It's going to be at one of our sponsors, Hops and Hollers, who we love. They've been a great sponsor to Fan Run for so many years now. This starts at 6 o'clock this evening. Like I said, it's called A Night to Remember, presented by VFL Kurt Majette. You're going to have Smith's End Zone Barbecue there. There will be a question and answer panel. There will also be a silent and live auction, which is what we're talking about right now. You're looking at Josh Dobbs going to be there, A.J. Johnson, Cam Sutton, Jalen Reeves-Maben, and then also, as Trey just said, Rashawn Golden. And all proceeds will benefit, as we were saying yesterday, the Chain Center. So, yeah, really great event that Kurt Majette's putting on. You really want to get out there. You can go ahead and purchase tickets, too. Go to Kurt Majette's Twitter, and the link is in the bio to go ahead and purchase some tickets to that if you haven't.
I'm excited. We're going to have Rashawn on right now. This is just some kind of something that we just
– Let's do it.
It's his live radio, so we work this thing out. Let's bring Rashawn on with us right now. Rashawn, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, man. How y'all doing?
I'm great, man. It's good to have you on and discussing everything that's going into tonight and the event, and it's such for a good cause too. And I think that's one of the best things about everything that will be going on. First off, what are you looking forward to the most tonight? Getting back into Knoxville and surrounding with some of your old teammates. How much you looking forward to that, man?
Man. Big time looking forward to that, man. Guys like, you know, Kurt and AJ that, you know, paved the way for me when I was a freshman. You know, just excited to get back around those guys and also, you know, see some UT fans and also, you know, benefit, you know, something greater than all of us. And that's, you know, the Chain Center down in Knoxville.
Tell me a little bit about how this thing in your eyes came together. Did you get a call from Kurt and ask if you wanted to be involved? Just tell me about how this all came about in your case also for being here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Kurt, he came up with the idea, man. He has such a great sphere of influence, you know, in the Knoxville community, very active. And, you know, he contacted all of us and saw, you know, and thought about, you know, what we can do to possibly, you know, give back. And so, I mean, he was the spearhead of this. And, you know, I'm just really excited to, you know, join something, you know, that he has going underway, you know, along with a bunch of other guys that's going to be there.
Tell me about the auctions that are going to be going on tonight. I know there'll be some memorabilia out there available. I know that you're doing something very cool that I think is should raise a lot of money for a great cause. Talk to me a little bit about the auction that'll be going on.
You know, it's a silent and live auction. I'm not really sure, you know, as to what, you know, kind of, you know, things will be given there. I can only speak for myself on that aspect. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you see the names on the brochure, you know, guys like Josh Dobbs, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Cam Sutton, and Derek, you know, all really great guys that, you know, that play very well at Tennessee and also very active in our community as well.
So run me through a little bit how you came up with the idea of donating – The jersey that, you know, a lot of Tennessee fans, not going to lie, they fully love everything that went into that jersey in that game. But talk to me a little bit about how you came up with that idea and you thought, you know what, let's turn something that maybe at the moment was maybe a little controversial, but now turning it into a special moment that will raise money for such a good cause.
You know, I've been thinking, you know, for the last year or two, you know, what are ways that, you know, I can try to, you know, shed light, you know, have a better outlook on that image. And, you know, this is just something that, you know, I bounced off the head of Kurt and, you know, we came together and, you know, it's just a very, very good display to, you know, just show that, you know, the growth in myself and also, you know, this is just something that's not for me. This isn't about me and this is to benefit, you know, the kids at the Chain Center. So, you know, it's just something that, you know, I decided, you know, with Kurt to do, and, you know, we look forward to the outcome of it.
Now, Rashawn, quickly, outside of, you know, I know you're here, you're talking about the auction and everything, but, you know, tell everybody, I know that you're with the Panthers right now, correct? And you just finished your first year. How was the first season? You know, the grit and grind of the schedule. What did you learn? What's been the most tough thing, I guess, about the NFL so far for you?
No, just the quality of competition, man. Every day, you know, you're tested. Every day, you're tested on, you know, individually improving yourself. You're in every aspect of your game, mentally, physically. You know, just every day, you got to find something that's going to separate yourself because the margin of error, you know, that leads to, you know, big plays against other teams and stuff like that. So, you know, really the biggest thing that I learned from this year, man, is just be ready when your number's called because, you know, so many injuries and such a tough game, and just be ready when your number's called and be ready to execute. So, you know, year two coming up, you know, have a lot of confidence going forward. I look very forward to getting back to work Monday. As we start our program, our lifting program, getting ready for OTA. So, you know, I'm encouraged and I'm ready to, you know, put my name on the organization.
Now, I'm sure that, you know, you'll be happy to line up wherever the organization asks you to. But the thing that was so interesting about you in your college career, you know, you're such a versatile player that you could, you know, play a lot of different positions on the defense. I see, you know, you've been playing safety. Is that where you're going to be locked into? Is there anything new coming for you on the defensive side of the ball for you this year? You're going to be lined up anywhere else different? Or you really then locked into that safety position and trying to grow from there?
I've talked to the coaches and you know, they're going to put me in a place to where, you know, I can get back to my old ways in college and play that nickel position and be, you know, a disruptive ball player and also, you know, be high in my communication and different things like that. So, you know, going forward, you're going to see me a lot more in the slot. And, you know, I look forward to, you know, getting back to that position at the nickel.
And last one for me, Rashawn. Just I got to ask because I'm sure that this was something that, you know, you kind of looked forward to when you made the Panthers roster. Just what kind of delight is it to have Cam Newton? What kind of the personality that he has in the locker room? You know, we see, you know, the wardrobe and Cam Newton's very outspoken. I think he gets a hard rap sometimes. But what type of player is he, and especially in the locker room?
Like you said, you know, he has that bubbly personality. You know, he's a good quarterback for us. You know, just look forward to him getting healthy and getting back to work.
That's fantastic. Rashawn, you're coming to town for a great cause, man. One more time, just tell everybody the name of the event, and it's going to be at Hops and Hollers tonight. And anything else you'd like to add on the way out, buddy?
You know, as you said earlier, man, it's called A Night to Remember, an event put on by Kurt Majette. You know, all the benefits and proceeds of these, you know, auctions, live auctions. And we also have a Q&A as well, you know, just getting different kind of insight from guys like us that have been at the high school, the college level, and also seen, you know, professional action. So, you know, all the benefits are going to proceed. Kids at the Chain Center, you know, just giving back to the youth and just, you know, also just having a platform. You know, I just want to thank Kurt, you know, just for thinking about this event. Look forward to seeing AJ, Derek, all the guys, you know, that I played with. And, you know, we just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, literally. So, like I said, I look forward to getting back to Knoxville, seeing all the fans, and, you know, just very excited for tonight.
Rashawn, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Safe travels on the way over to Knoxville, man. Look forward to seeing you tonight. And again, I appreciate you joining us here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Rashawn Gauldin, thanks to him for coming on, discussing a night to remember what's going on Hops and Hollers tonight. We're going to take a break. Jason Martin from 104.5 The Zone is going to join us next. Really cool interview with Rashawn. Thanks to him for coming on. We'll be back on the other side. It's your afternoon. 220 Masters update from Augusta National. Hope Chance and Brandon are doing well back in the studio. I'm out here on the 14th green having to be very, very quiet. Molinari, 6 under par. Ian Poulter, 5 under par. Brooks Koepka. Dang it, I always screw that up. Kazari's 4 under. Matt Kuchar, 4 under. Tied for 4th. Dustin Johnson making a little run here at 4 under. Jason Day, the Australian, 4 under. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Phil Mickelson, tied for 4th at 4 under. He's plus 1 today, though. So you got to get back on track, Phil. I was told to be quiet. DeChambeau is 3 under.
DeChambeau.
Afabor Hanright is 3 under.
Wow, you're bad at this.
Adam Scott, 3 under, even through par today. And wrapping that up, he must be way down the... Oh, Tiger Woods, 2 under par today, tied for 14th. He is even on the day.
He just started, though.
Yeah, I know.
He just started.
Second round coverage begins at 3 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN. Why would they put that up there if it's already on ESPN? I have no idea why they would do that.
Because they're not actually showing the live action.
Yeah.
It's just highlights.
It's just highlights.
Wait, what?
Nobody has the rights to it except for CBS on the weekends and the Masters app. It's all just highlights when they show it. They never show you, like, the...
No. ESPN has the rights for Thursday, Friday.
And they don't start it till 3, so yeah, it's all highlights.
It's not live. They're
starting at 3 o'clock, it's live.
From what's already happened.
That's why we're saying right now, though.
Yeah.
Is highlights.
You know what we're saying?
Right. Yeah. No, I get that part. Yeah.
It's not that confusing.
They have the rights to Thursday and Friday.
Starting at 3.
Right. I get it. They're live right now. I get what they're doing.
Yeah. I'm saying, but they don't show it from the time it starts.
Live from the news desk with two Peter Gammons or whoever the hell that is.
No, that's not Peter Gammons.
That's what I'm saying. Two people that aren't playing in the
Peter
tournament.
Gammon's still living.
Yeah, he's still living. He's doing something for them. I tried to text Jason. I don't know what's up. He was supposed to come on 2:15 today, so whatever. It is what it is. So y'all have confused the hell out of me because I get what you're saying. They have the rights, though. They can start broadcasting it at 3. ESPN does, and they'll go to like 8 o'clock tonight. Now, the problem is there's a huge chance that those big storms come through over the next couple of days, and they don't get the final round in on Sunday, and they actually play this thing on Monday.
If I'm CBS.
Or they're actually talking about playing double rounds if they had to. They've done that before.
I think they're going to try
that
to
That bad boy's
from
not going to end on Saturday.
But if I'm CBS, I am cheering mightily for it to rain halfway through. You get all the people tune in at the beginning of the round. Then, we got to show it again tomorrow. Yeah, that just draws it out.
I don't know. I feel like that hurts them if they have to do it on Monday because most people won't get to watch it.
It's like the NCAA tournament.
Not take off, but.
If Tiger's in contention, yeah, a lot more people are going to.
You can stream it.
You lose a lot of attendance.
But it just, I think it'd be tough.
Which almost would make it better. Fewer people. I'd enjoy it more.
I get it. That's happened a couple times, I remember. Not recently, per se, but yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, all right, I get it, yeah.
Do you get it now?
Kind of, but I'm sitting here looking at Tiger. No, that's Brooks. Hey, that's Brooks Koepka right now with the shot, and he misses it. Okay, so.
You cannot get his name right.
Jason Martin's about to join us right now.
God. Brooks Koepka.
Well, you know what? It's difficult. So it is.
Not that tough. Charlie Wiles. Koepka.
I think we have a phone call. I don't think it's Jason Martin. I don't know. Hopefully Jason's okay. Usually it's not like that. Koepka. We got a phone call, buddy?
Yeah, we do.
What we got?
We got Jay wants to talk about the Rick Barnes contract a little bit.
Jay, what's up, buddy? We'll have you on until we get Jason. What's up, man?
Hey, Trey. Thanks for taking my call,
Absolutely,
man.
Buddy.
Hey, I just saw this Rick Barnes contract, 4.75.
Yeah.
Third highest paid coach in the country. I'm not saying that we should have Kentucky expectations like the expectations that Kentucky fans have, but, I mean, does it go without saying that just going to the Sweet 16 now is not good enough? I mean, when you're paying this kind of money for a basketball coach,
should
we expect more?
Yeah, you got to make an Elite Eight in the next 2 years and potentially a Final Four. And you got to win an SEC tournament or an SEC regular season. If you're paying that much money – You know, and I get the rebuild that's about to happen.
Right.
And I don't. We'll see. If Grant comes back, it's not big of a rebuild, you know, because you've got pieces you can throw in there with Lamonte Bowden, Josiah James, maybe this Cone kid that might reclassify and Grant. But I'm saying, you know, if he's got to rebuild the whole front court and back court in the next 2 years, then. You know, it is what it is, but I do think he's got to make an Elite Eight at least in the next, I don't know, 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was wanting to kind of get y'all's opinion on, because that's what I was thinking myself. I think when you take this level of money, Trey, when you're one of the three highest-paid coaches in any sport, I think a university and its fans have a right to expect a little bit more, because that's an investment. You want to see a return on your investment.
So I agree.
That's kind of how I see it.
Well, what's your opinion? How from a fan's perspective on this, how quick of a turnaround do you want?
Well, I understand next year there might be some speed bumps, if you will, but I guess I want to see us compete more at that Elite Eight level for that kind of money, and then hopefully maybe get to a Final Four. We'll see, but Rick Barnes' career, you know, he's only gotten past the Sweet 16 only three times in 31 years. That's basically once a decade. So if that's the case, if that trend continues, then I don't think you're going to be getting your money's worth. If that trend continues, I'm not saying it will, but if it does, then I think you may be overpaying for that level of success.
How much... What are your expectations for next year?
Well, I would like to make the tournament next year.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Do you?
Yeah, I'd like to make the tournament next year.
As a fan, do you think this team is a bubble team next year? Or do you think this team is, you know, potentially should be an NCAA tournament lock?
I don't think they should be a bubble team, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were a double-digit seed either. I don't think you should be a bubble team trying to fight and claw to get in, but I think, you know, they should be in, because I think you're going to lose Grant and Jordan. I think those guys are gone.
Yeah.
So you're going to have your struggles. I understand that. I would just, if we could just be a solid tournament team, even if we were a double-digit seed, I would, you know, say that's a good job for what we lost, and then hopefully that 2020 class would be coming in, and as y'all know, one class of basketball can turn things around, and hopefully that 2020 class can, you know, really take us, you know, to the next level. But I understand next year could be – there's going to be a drop-off. I understand that.
Appreciate your call, buddy. Thank you, Jay. Have a great weekend, buddy. There's reports coming out there right now that the NCAA is going to be voting on a rule that would stop one-year transfers. The schools would have to give up a scholarship for that year. Plus the player plays, plus one more. So that would be interesting to see how that would turn into what Tennessee or any school around the country is trying to do with grad transfer, since it would count towards a certain year. So I don't know. I'll have to look more into that one, but that just came up over on the Twitterverse. I guess I'll have to do a little bit more looking into that one. Chance, right? It's still going on. Do you see Billy Donovan getting out of the NBA game and potentially getting back in college basketball in the next 2 years?
For what?
You think Billy Donovan would leave the OKC?
No, I know what you said. I'm saying for what? Like, I heard the guys on the draft talking about that the other day. There's more money in the NBA. The people in Oklahoma City love him. He's done a good job in the post-Kevin Durant era.
Can he win a title?
I mean, there are also, 31 other coaches or 29 other coaches. I don't know if they can win a title as long as Golden State is the way they are.
I get
are.
That.
Yeah, I do think he can win a title. He's got Paul George. He has Russell Westbrook. They need one more piece. They had one of their big-time defenders, Andre Roberson. He's been hurt most of this year. I'm not sure if he's come back for playoffs or not, but he tore his ACL last year. But, yeah, I mean, with the right pieces, they can do it. He's a great coach. Like, they absolutely love him. Almost on all accounts in Oklahoma City, fans, organization, everything, and he just makes too much money. I feel like if he were let go by the Thunder, there'd be other teams in the NBA who would want his services. So I think he's on a – he'll go back to college probably never, but if he did, it's just going to be on his – it'll be on his own accord, not just because somebody's in there swooping him.
Did you see the Derrick Rose Stadium –
I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet. I need to. I'm a big Bulls fan.
When he found out he was going to the Knicks.
Yeah, I heard it was really sad. I'm a big Bulls fan, and you know, he's from the city of Chicago.
That was tough to watch.
He's a South Side kid. Yeah, I know it hurt him.
And I couldn't tell if he was more like freaking out because he was going to New York or that it hurt him that the Bulls traded him at that time.
I think it hurt him that his hometown city traded him. As, you know, he grew up loving the Bulls, grew up on the South Side. He gets drafted by the Bulls, what a dream come true, MVP season. And then he has all the injuries that forced him, you know, turned him to – he lost his talents. He wasn't explosive as he once was. He wasn't the player he once was. And then he gets traded. I think it was more the heartbreak that your team, that you know, your hometown team let you go.
If Derrick Rose were to retire, I mean, he'd live a life. You know, he'd be good with the money he's made the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much – his knee starts getting a little worse with his knee problems. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's interesting to me. Kind of the same thing that's going on with Darren Kirkland Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and his college career where man, it's so tough. Because he's been down at the Andrews Institute in Pensacola, like we reported last month.
Mm-hmm.
He's been down there, you know, looking at his knee, getting a couple things done procedure-wise with his knee. And now it's getting to a point, and Jeremy Pruitt talked about it as well. Does he even play anymore? And I think that's tough. You know, I think it's a situation where he's going to have to look at it. Can he be healthy the rest of his life? And the fact that he's been down to the Andrews Institute and the fact that, you know, he's trying to figure out the best possible way for him to get back, I don't know. I didn't – it's tough for me to think that Darren Kirkland will ever suit up in a Tennessee jersey again and play because you can't be taking those risks according to your knee. I mean, you know, if they're not playing up, then I get it. Let's see. Let's take Roger before we take a break. We'll do Roger before we go to break. Roger, good afternoon to you.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to ask you about the game tomorrow. I just want to ask you, are you excited about the game tomorrow?
Roger, I'm not excited. It's just the orange and white game, buddy. I can't get excited, Rog. I can't do it. I can't. I won't. I won't, Roger. I won't do it. Won't do it. I know you're excited, though, aren't you? Aren't you, Raj?
Huh?
You excited, Roger?
Yeah. I'm excited about going to it. Are you excited about Trey? About it?
I'm interested to see some of the players.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how some of these guys react in certain atmospheres and circumstances. What are you most excited about?
I'm for. I can't wait to see Tunnel how he does with Jim Taney, with him learning Jim Taney's offense. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing that. You know, seeing how he does, see how Tunnel does with Jim Taney with the new offense. So looking forward to that, and seeing the whole team, see how the team looks now after one check your ear, you know, and I'll try to say how I'm kind of care how Pert does, but how the whole team does. They've been different with the Team Martin too, Team Martin, and also the, you know, all the new guys are on right now. So I'm kind of curious how they do, what team does, how what's new, you know, check your ear, you know.
I'm interested to see the passing game as well, and also I'd like to see what the running game does. Roger, hey, buddy, thank you for calling, man. I hope you have a great day. We got to take a break.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to do a little Facts of Foolishness a little bit before Chance pops out. Maybe.
Okay. We'll talk about it in the break.
We'll talk about it during the break. I don't know. We'll see. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We do have some news of the day coming up as well. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here, getting ready to hand things over to the Drive here in just a bit as they are at Hops and Hollers getting ready for tonight's event with Kurt Majette and former Vol for Life's A Night to Remember. That would be a lot of fun. Bringing on my buddy now from 104.5 The Zone's The Big Six, Jason Martin. Jason, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Always good to be with you. How are things down in Knoxville?
Man, we're making it. We're, you know, basketball season's over. You know, spring game coming up tomorrow. So, you know, to be honest with you, things are hopefully going to wind down for a hot minute here in Knoxville. It's been kind of a crazy week coming off Tennessee's basketball run as well. So I'm kind of waiting for things just to kind of chill out.
Yeah, well, not so much here in Nashville between the NHL playoffs beginning and the NFL draft being here in 2 weeks. There is no rest for the wicked right now.
Hey, what's the feel around Nashville right now with the draft coming to town? Is it starting to get exciting, everything going up in town, you know, all the platforms and, you know, taking trees out, hanging up banners? But what's the overall feel, man? Is the city getting excited about this thing?
I mean, they are, and it seems like everybody, every company here, every local merchant has its own gear. I've got a shirt. There's a lot of people out here doing stuff. The tree thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It became quite a story. I don't really know how, but it gave some people some content, I guess. I didn't really talk about it other than to make a joke every couple of times. I mean, I get why you'd want to save the trees, but I don't know that that's something that needs to have caused as much drama as it did. In terms of it just being exciting, it's exciting. Titans having the 19th pick, you know, that it's not like you have the top five or whatever, but just with the way that sports is in Nashville now, between the Predators, assuming that they're still going to be alive by the time the draft gets here, which may be an assumption at this point and not a fact. It's definitely an intriguing time. I'm going to be there covering it. We're going to be broadcasting live from the draft the whole time. It's going to be really unique and one of those experiences. I don't think you would have thought the draft would have been here even 5 years ago.
No.
We'd have never thought that, and here it is, only the fifth city or fourth city, I think, actually, to ever have it. Pretty incredible.
Let me ask you a question. How much do you think the Preds' entertainment value and the national attention they got during the Stanley Cup run, the Western Conference Finals, and just that whole wackiness that was recently, how much do you think that played into effect with the draft coming to Nashville, especially the way the country got to see the city and how it was advertised?
I think it was the Preds. I also think it was All-Star Weekend.
Good point.
When the NHL had its All-Star game here a couple of years ago, that is the one where people are like, oh, holy cow, wait a second. These guys know how to throw a party. And it was a super successful weekend, and I think that is when people started to take note of this city as a place that could host something for a league as opposed to just an event for the Preds. I mean, yes, Nashville was voted last year by all the teams in the league as the toughest place to play, as the hardest group of fans to deal with, and all of those things, and you know that you're going to have a really loud crowd at Bridgestone Arena. But I think that, and it, I, you know, the Titans, had they been better, maybe you would have seen a better crowd that could have helped as well. But I honestly think that the Predators got it started, but I think it's the NHL All-Star Game that showed what this city could do just to try and come and surround an exhibition or surround something a little bit different than just their own franchise. And I think that's what put them on the map more maybe so than anything.
Is speaking of the Preds, man, I watched the game the other night, and you know, I love playoff hockey, and I really got into the Predators and my time being in Nashville. Is there much juju around this team this year, man? Is this a type of team that city thinks can make a run to the Stanley Cup Finals, or are they kind of in that mode where they might have to pull an upset or two?
Well, I think the second one is probably more the mentality for the fan base. You know that you can do it, but if you look at 2 years ago and then last year and then this year, 2 years ago they're the eighth seed. Nobody expected anything, and they make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I compare them to the Oklahoma City Thunder very early with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden, a team that they started to get better maybe faster than people thought. They were a year ahead of schedule, so it was almost like it was gravy, kind of like the Indianapolis Colts this year as well in the NFL. And then last year they had a ton of expectations behind them, and they weren't able to live up to it. And so they came into this season, I think on paper right now, maybe the most talented team that they've ever had, but they've been so daggone inconsistent. They had a red-hot start. They weren't great in the middle. They started to put some things together around the trade deadline. They bring in Boyle. They get Granlund. They get Simmons. They do some things that make you like what they're doing. And you've got Pecorino, who's a very feast or famine goaltender when it comes to the postseason. And then you just have to look at it and say, well, what makes you excited about this team? Well, on paper. Well, unfortunately, things aren't played on paper. Even after Subban's goal that made it a one-goal game two nights ago, people are heading for the exits before he even got that shot in, and there's still, you know, 6-7 minutes left. This is not a crowd that's hanging around thinking that they were coming back from 3-1. And to me, that's sort of very un-Nashville-like. And it's not because all of a sudden the fans have gotten snooty. It's just because I don't think that they have that much belief in this particular team. But the thing about it is they are talented enough to beat anybody. And that, I think, is what's so frustrating about it. I don't think they're going to make the Stanley Cup Finals this year. I'm not positive they're going to get through Dallas, quite frankly. But I think that the fans are more, this is a more realistic situation for the Preds to be playing under right now. It's more where they could, if they wanted to, say, okay, we have something to prove, as opposed to last year where I just think that they underwhelmed. It wasn't a failure of a season. It wasn't a step back, but they just kind of stood in place and didn't maximize their potential, and I'm afraid that's what we're watching right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm getting kind of nervous waiting for tomorrow night's game and seeing how that plays out. Jason, spring game coming up here. Two more questions. We'll let you go, buddy. Spring game coming up here tomorrow. Tennessee Volunteers will take the field and wrap up this whole thing and get ready for the fall camp starting here in a couple months. Your overall takeaway and what you'd be interested in seeing tomorrow from the Volunteers in this glorified practice?
Well, I don't know what you get out of these games.
I don't know.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun. You get to go watch football that's not the AAF. I mean, spring football that's actually going to be relevant to what's happening in the fall. I think that there's certainly questions surrounding this team, a lot of questions surrounding this team with the new members on the sidelines, the new staff, but I really don't know. I've watched good spring games before that have led to absolutely nothing. So I'll be curious to see what the stats look like and how the guys look, but I just don't feel like there's a whole lot to learn here. I just know that once you get to spring practice, you know, we get to spring practice, and then in 2 weeks here comes the NFL draft, and then there's just a bit of a lull. And then all of a sudden, in about a month and a half, that's all anybody's talking about is football, and we're on the way to the fall, and then everything starts to count. I can't point to anything specifically about this team because I don't know how much it's like, ooh, the offensive line looks really good against itself. Like, I don't know. I just, spring game to me is, it's a fun deal, and I'm sure that the fans will be good, and I'm sure the attendance ought to be awfully good as well. even with Augusta and what's happening with the Masters. But there's nothing really that I can point to specifically. I'll be looking forward to listening to you and probably having you on to tell me some of the things that have happened tomorrow as spring practice comes to an end. But nothing specifically coming to mind. I'm happy that we're going to get to watch this team with the new additions on the sideline.
Also, Jason, real quick, I wanted to ask you, what are you more excited for on Sunday? Tiger Woods potentially being in contention or
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest Sunday ever, right? It's the greatest pop culture Sunday ever. Greatest escape entertainment Sunday ever. If Tiger's in contention, if Phil's in contention, I expect we're going to see a great leaderboard. The Masters and U.S. Open are my two favorite sporting events every year because of how fun they are to watch. Watching the Masters on TV, there's nothing like that. I expect the drama is going to be great. I'm expecting that a lot of the guys you would expect to be in contention will be. I hope that Eldrick is one of them. Game of Thrones, we got 6 episodes left. And it's going to be as talked about as any final season of any show ever because of the lengthy delay in how long it took to put these episodes together. The length of the episodes isn't quite as long as people expected. There's a couple that are going to go over 80 minutes long. The finale is not going to be the longest episode. I think the second to last actually has the longest runtime. I'm going to be covering it, actually, my Fox Sports Radio show, the Jason Martin show that runs Sunday mornings 3 to 6 a.m. Eastern time nationally. We're going to be doing a weekly Game of Thrones segment previewing and talking about what just happened. Hopefully we're going to have some special guests and things like that as well that I'm going to be able to record with in the days prior to air. So there's a lot there, but look, the Masters are going to be here every year. I know I could watch Game of Thrones at any point in time, but I feel like I've kind of gotten swept up in this too. And somebody that's made pop culture my living, I think I've got to give the nod to Westeros as we find out how this Iron Throne situation is going to shake itself out.
My man. Hey, on the way out, wrestling question. AEW, they going to be on a primetime channel going up against the WWE?
Yeah, they're going to be on TNT, I believe. And the question now is, what day can you put it on? Because they don't want to put it against Monday and Friday because of WWE SmackDown that'll be on Fox and then Raw, obviously, on Monday nights. And then Turner has its NBA contract on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesday could be a day. Tuesday becomes a day where they do bonus NBA coverage in the spring. Seemingly around the All-Star break, you start to see that. Wednesday, I don't know if Wednesday's a great day or not. I think Tuesday or Wednesday makes the most sense. I've got some friends that are pretty high up in that organization who have been pretty tight-lipped and have been pretty close to the vest so far on everything. But at one point it looked like it was going to be TBS. Now it looks like it may be TNT. They're going to have Jim Ross as a part of this. They're going to have they've got who you want to be a part of this.
Right.
As long as they don't come in here thinking they're going to compete with WWE, they'll be fine. As long as they just want to stay in their lane and do the best job they can, they'll be okay. The mistake every promotion has ever made is, let's go global when they're making money locally. It's like you don't have to expand if you're doing things the right way. Let it come to you. Don't try to make it happen. AEW has exactly what you want it to have right now with all this momentum. I think that show's probably on TNT. I'm going to predict it's Tuesday nights on TNT, starting in my birth month, which is October.
There you go. My man, Jason Martin, tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic work, and your great show every night.
I am on Twitter at JMartZone. My show 6 p.m. Central Time, so 7 p.m. Eastern, on 104.5 The Zone here in Nashville, 104.5thezone.com. My Fox Sports Radio show just finishing up the first month. They just sent out the press release yesterday. I looked at it and still was kind of stunned that they were actually dumb enough to hand me a national radio show, but they were.
Hey, it airs on our station.
3 to 6 a.m. I know, man. People are dumb, man. We have jobs.
But
3 to 6 a.m. Eastern time every Sunday morning, the Jason Martin Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'll still be filling in for Clay Travis on Outkick the Coverage and popping in on there as well. And if you go to 1045thezone.com/Big6Blog, you'll see all of my TV, film, sports, pro wrestling, all of that content. So there is just sleep used to be something I could do. Sleep is no longer something I have the luxury of. But I'm blessed to be able to say that. My Lord and Savior has been
I don't know. I am so blessed beyond measure. I say that at the beginning of every show, and I want to intimate again that whenever I say I'm blessed beyond measure, and then I say I hope that you recognize you are as well. If me saying that stirred up something in you, my DMs on Twitter are always wide open at JMartZone, and I would like nothing more than to have a further conversation about that with you. Trey, you and Brandon are the best, and obviously anytime you need me, I'm here for you, brother.
Thanks, buddy. Have a wonderful weekend, buddy. Proud of you, and we will talk sometime soon, man. Be good.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, brother. Jason Martin, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap up the show. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Optional Fox Sports Knoxville running along here, wrapping up today's show. Appreciate Jason Martin joining us, getting ready for tonight's event at Hops and Hollers. I will actually be over at Hops and Hollers here in just a little bit. Stop by and say hello and get ready for tonight, a night to remember with Kurt Majip. Be a lot of fun. Josh Dobbs, AJ Johnson, Cam Sutton, Jalen Reeves, Maven, a lot more players going to be there tonight. They're going to have some barbecue, a Q&A panel, live and silent auction. You can get tickets at Kurt Majit's Twitter page. I'm on there now, and you can also get on his Facebook page as well. So it should be a fun night, Brandon. Should be good. The Masters going on this weekend. Look forward to... Man, look, I hope it's interesting on Sunday. I really do. I'm looking at it now, trying to give an update as we were going in.
Molinari is still up.
Is he
still
really?
The leader? 7 under par.
Good Lord. What's going on with him?
I'd be watching out for Brooks Koepka to keep it up. He's won back-to-back U.S. Opens. Guy can play. But there's nothing more I'd like to see than a Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson final pairing on Sunday.
There's only a couple tickets left for this event. $75, Q&A, interviews, hanging out. So everybody go do that tonight. Don't forget the drive coming up next. Russell, Bear, Brandon, Rick Butler will be in here running everything. I'm going to head over to Hops and Holler, say hello to everybody for a little bit. I appreciate Brandon Johns and Chance for this week. It's been good. We will see you Monday. If you're at the Orange and White game tomorrow, say hello. Love to see you. It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm going to some place where I've never been.